The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to our divine service on this, the fifth Sunday of Easter. And today is also the commemoration of C.F.W. Walther, who was the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And we remember not just that he was a great historical figure, but that he was a teacher and pastor and preacher of the gospel. And this morning, our opening hymn actually was written by Walther. It's an Easter hymn, and so it's very fitting for this Sunday. A few other things going on this morning. We have, after the service, a potluck and a voters' meeting. Everyone is invited to stay for that. We continue our campaign for asbestos abatement and are well on our way. I believe we are over half the way now to our goal for abating asbestos, particularly in our youth room area, which we would like to use for outreach purposes. And so before we can do that, we need to get that room and adjacent fire escape abated. Thank you to all who have donated, and that is going right along. You will find your reading sheet for 1 Peter in your bulletin once more, and that is for you to use throughout the week and then come prepared for next Sunday. You can use that devotionally. You can think about those questions. You can write responses to those questions. And that reading includes the epistle reading for next Sunday. At this time, I invite you to stand as you are able and face the cross as we begin with confession and absolution on page 151 in the Lutheran Service Book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, the number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others from Sicilia and Asia, stood up and argued with Stephen. And Stephen replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our ancestor Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stone, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. How are you all this morning? Okay, I have a question. I think, Ellie, can you answer my question? I think so. Do you know what this is? Or can I ask you, do you know what game this is from? It is. It's from Minecraft, right? And Thomas, you can answer the question now because you know what it is. What kind of block is this? It's a redstone ore block. So I happen to know that all of you enjoy playing Minecraft. And I thought, this is just perfect for today, because in all three of our readings, we heard about stones or building or something like that. We hear in the gospel reading that Jesus is going to build a place for us in heaven, right, in his kingdom. In the epistle reading that I'll preach on in just a few minutes, we'll hear about how Peter says we are chosen stones. And then in the first reading, we hear about something with stones that we'd rather not talk too much about right now. Stones were used for something else. We'll save that for another year. But in the game of Minecraft, you can pick all kinds of different blocks to build with, right? You can build a house or a library, or Thomas and I once built a church, right, in Minecraft. And when you're playing that, you can choose all the different kinds of block. There are redstone blocks. What are some of the other blocks? Say that again? Yeah, just regular old stone, bricks, anything, and you can use wood blocks, right? You can choose all different kinds of stones and blocks to use to build with. Well, you know what St. Peter says in our epistle reading this morning? He says that God chose you to be his blocks. He said, I want an Isaiah block, and I want a Thomas block, and I want an Ellie block, and I want a Naomi block, and I want all the blocks out there too. And do you know what he used to build them? You know what he built with them? His church. Jesus is building his church. And sometimes we talk about the church as the body of Christ, and then we talk about it as a building. Not a building like the big, beautiful one that we have here, though we are thankful for that, and we try to take care of it as best we can as a place to meet God in. But you and I and everybody out there and all Christians on the earth and all Christians who have died and are waiting to be raised back to life with Jesus, all of us are built into the church. And you know when God chose you for that? You know when that happened in your life? That's right, at baptism. When you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God took hold of each one of you and he said, I'm going to put you in my church. You can go back to your seats and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Grace, Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During this Easter season, we have been hearing from St. Peter's first epistle how the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ shape our Christian lives, how they give us the power to live out our faith in the midst of a hostile world and in the midst of suffering in our own lives. Last week, we heard Peter encourage us to suffer under the care of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. And this week, Peter gives us a direct promise from God that despite everything else that is going on, we can know that we have been chosen to be God's people in Christ. The Christians in the first century to whom Peter writes are either facing right now, or they're running away from, or they're about to face persecution for refusing to worship the Roman emperor. And there was a unique twist to this persecution. All of the peoples of the Roman Empire had to worship the emperor. They could worship other gods and goddesses as they pleased, but they really had to worship the emperor. One historian has called this the religious glue that held the Roman Empire together. Only one people got a pass on worshiping the emperor, the Jews. And to this point, the Christians had more or less been spared persecution for refusing to worship the emperor because the Romans just thought about them as another one of those Jewish religious sects, like the Pharisees, like the Sadducees. They didn't know any better. At about the time that 1 Peter is written, things change. The Jewish religious leaders have told the Romans, the Christians are not part of our people. They don't get our pass. As more and more Christians weren't even ethnically Jewish, this made sense to the Roman authorities, and so they began to persecute the Christians. For the Christians of Peter's day, experiencing this persecution was a double whammy. On the one hand, they had to fear for their lives from the Roman government. And on the other hand, these Christians who were mostly non-Jewish were rejected by the Jews and even by some Jewish Christians as not really being part of God's people. Since they weren't Jews, so the thinking went, these Gentile Christians must not really be chosen by God. How must that have felt to these Christians? On top of the threat of suffering and maybe even dying for their faith, now they have the distress of being told, you're not one of God's special people. God didn't choose you. You don't really belong. And it is in this context that Peter proclaims the clear and direct promise, God has chosen you. And this promise is pure gospel. It is good news to hear that God has chosen you. It was good news for the Christians who were suffering Peter's persecution in Peter's day. And it is good news for us here today. For we too suffer, and we go through a variety of experiences that try our faith in Christ. In the midst of that, we may be pushed by the world, by the devil, and by our old sinful nature to wonder, does God really love me? Do I really matter to him? Am I really God's child? And in the midst of whatever we may face in this life, God says to us here through his servant Peter, I have chosen you. Peter says that you and I are chosen living stones. We are chosen by God and precious to him. Peter says that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, a people who belong to God, chosen to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter explains to us what it means that we are chosen by God. First, Peter says that being chosen by God means that we are precious in God's sight. Peter says that we are living stones, like precious stones, jewels, rubies, things like sapphires, emeralds, rejected by this world, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And Christians are rejected by the world. The Roman Christians living in Peter's day were rejected by their pagan society for not worshiping the emperor. for rejecting the traditional gods and goddesses of the Roman culture, and for refusing to endorse the violence and murder rampant in their so-called civilization. Christians stood out because they wouldn't attend the gladiatorial games, sporting events in which murder was turned into a spectator sport. They stood out because they condemned the Roman practice of killing unwanted babies shortly after they were born. The Roman press vilified the Christians because they wouldn't endorse their society's idolatry or celebrate its violence. Today, we too may face public criticism for refusing to approve things in our society that we know to be wrong. And when we do so, we may feel isolated. We might feel threatened, or maybe we feel tempted to despair when we hear Christians unjustly labeled as intolerant, hateful, or even dangerous. We know that this is not true. We know that it's slander, but hearing it can make us feel like we don't belong in our own society. Christians have always been and will always be rejected by the world. But God says to us, "You may be rejected by others, but you are precious to me. I have chosen you because you are precious to me, and I love you." In a sermon that he preached on Christmas 1881, C.F.W. Walther, whom we commemorate today, put it like this: "Oh, beloved, what a hot and inexpressibly great fire must burn in the heart of God for us, that he has chosen us to be his own people." And that's true for each one of us. God loves us. We are precious to him, and his heart burns for us. God proved this love to us by leaving the portals of heaven and coming into the world in Jesus Christ. He showed that burning love for us by experiencing rejection for us and by taking all of our sin and all of our guilt to the cross. And now this love, this same love that sent Jesus, sustains us in our Christian life. No matter what we are going through, we can do so knowing that God has chosen us because he loves us and he has shown it to us through the cross. Peter describes the privilege we have of being loved and chosen by God as an honor. And he says that this honor is for those who believe. In other words, brothers and sisters, you can know for sure that you are chosen by God because you believe in him. You can know that you are chosen by God because you believe it. You can know that you are chosen by God because Jesus died and rose for you, and the Holy Spirit has opened your heart to believe that. With Peter, you and I confess that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we would die to sin and live to God. We believe that Jesus shed his blood on the cross to ransom us from sin, death, and the devil. We trust the promise that in holy baptism, we have been reborn into a new life, a resurrection life that Jesus has given us by the power of his own resurrection from the dead. By faith, we believe and we trust and we stake our hope on what Jesus has done for us by his death and resurrection. Christ is risen. And by faith, you and I know that we are chosen by God and we belong to his people because we trust in what Christ has done for us. And that does not mean that our faith made that happen. It does not mean that we are just smarter than everybody else and we figured it out. It doesn't mean that our being chosen as a child of God is a consequence of our choice of him. No, it's the other way around. Our believing in Jesus' death and resurrection for us is the consequence of God's choice of us. St. Paul says in Ephesians 1 that God chose us before the foundation of the world. Long before we believed in him, God chose us, and now God's choice is evidenced in our lives as we trust him alone for our salvation. In that same Christmas sermon, Walther reminds us that faith is a gift and that none of us can gift a gift to ourselves. Rather, says Walther, God has resolved from eternity to work faith in us by the gospel and to preserve us in the same unto the end. It's his gift to us. It's the consequence of his choice. And we can know that God has chosen us personally because by faith we trust that. But God's choice of us is not just a personal choice. It's a corporate one. Being part of the being chosen by God means that we are chosen to be part of God's people, part of the church. Peter says, once you are not a people, but now you are God's people. And for those people who are Gentile Christians who weren't Jewish, who are hearing that for the first time, think of the importance of that. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Now you belong to him. And belonging to him, being chosen by God, means belonging together with others who have been chosen by God in Christ. Peter says that we have been chosen as living stones, and God is fitting us together with other living stones into a living house for his praise and worship. This house is a household, a family. When God chose you as his son or daughter, he also chose you to be a brother or a sister. For God didn't just choose you, and God didn't just choose me. He chose others too. And he chose you and me to be with others in an extended family that spans time and culture and language and space. That family is the Holy Christian Church. God the Father chose you to be part of his church. He sent Jesus to suffer in his body to make you part of his church. And the Holy Spirit called and gathered you into his church. And now the triune God continues to work, continues to fit you together with others into the living house of God meant for his praise. This is good news for us because it means that when we go through suffering, loneliness, or rejection, we're really not alone. We may feel like it. We speak of a pandemic of loneliness in our society, but the truth of the gospel is you and I have been chosen to be with one another and to be with all Christians, and so we are not alone. The church isn't just me. It isn't just you. It's not just an individual living on a desert island. The church is all of us living, fitted together with all other Christians. This is good news because when we go through rough times, we can lean on brothers and sisters who are fitted together with us. Just like one block doesn't hold up the whole building itself, but it works together with the other blocks and it is fitted with them and leans on them. Together, we are all God's living house. In this house, we grow together as we are fed and nourished by God's word and by his supper. And this is all by God's choice, plan, and design, that we would be his people, that we would grow together, that we would support one another in Christ. But in this living house, there are still some open spaces. There are still more stones to fit into place. God isn't finished building just yet. Being chosen by God also means that you and I are chosen to proclaim that to others. Peter says that this is why God has chosen us. He said, God has chosen us to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are chosen to proclaim God's excellencies. God's still gathering stones that he has chosen to be part of his living house, and he is doing so through us. For when we share the good news of Jesus, God uses our words to uncover more stones that he has chosen to be gathered into the building of his church. This too is a comfort for us when we face trials and sufferings, because it reminds us that even though things may seem dark right now, God is using us. He is using us, his chosen people, to spread his light through the world. Whatever troubles you in this world today, whatever challenges you may face in your personal life or in your family, it can't beat you. It can't own you. It can't even define you because God has chosen you and you belong to him. And since it is God who has made this choice, nothing can change it. You were chosen as a son or a daughter of God in Christ, and no lie of the devil can take that away from you. No opposition from this world can erase the status that God has given to you. No illness, no financial distress, no loss of a friend or a relative, no destruction of a relationship, no mental stress, no depression, no anxiety, no loneliness, and nothing else can change this truth. God has chosen you. And now the God who has chosen you comes to you with his body and his blood, crucified and risen for you. He comes to you today and he says to you, "Here I am. I give you my very self so that you can be sure that I have chosen you to be mine." Amen, Lord Jesus. Keep us yours forever. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and let us confess our faith together in our triune God. In the words of the Nicene Creed, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. At this time, we go to our Lord in prayer, and we remember our brother Keith Hobby. Keith fell as he was entering church this morning and has been taken by ambulance, I presume, to the hospital. We remember him in our prayers. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have chosen us in Christ to be your own sons and daughters, and through the power of Jesus' resurrection, have adopted us into him. Nourish our faith through the pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may dwell in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have promised to build up your church to be a holy priesthood, that your people might offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to you. Bless your church and bring all congregations together. Empower your people at Jehovah Lutheran to reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus, that they too might be built up together with us. Bless all pastors who proclaim Christ. Bless church workers and those preparing for full-time church vocations, that we may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, build up the households of your people, that your children begotten in baptism may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your power brought all things into being and still preserves what you have made. Bless Joseph, our president, the Congress of these United States, Tim, our governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants. Lead them to honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give them wisdom and moderation to lead for the well-being of this nation and for the good of all. Cause peace to prevail on earth, especially between Russia and Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Heavenly Father, for the sake of your dear Son who has restored all things by his cross, grant healing, comfort, deliverance, and peace to those in need. We pray especially for Donna Austinson Kiefert, Rita Galston, Paul Finnegan, George Mendoza, Sandy Quinzer, Tom Kelly, Tim Robinson, Patrick Carey, Wesley Pagel, Sean Davis, Shirley Starner, Lynn Barthel and her family, Paula Portermain, Marge and Charlie Avalos, Eric Meeson, Alita Hill, Mary Wegner, Dorothy Wegner, Bruce Wegner, Mike Wynn, Devin Parade, Jim Kinzel, Tracy Kaiser, Karen Kurgis, Stephen Weta, Marjorie Pumphrey, Sandy Tyken, Marlis Wolf, Dorothy Fox, Rafael Dallagher Perez, Marianne Robinson, and David Cook, and Keith Hobby. Lord, in your mercy. Father of the risen Christ, we thank you that you have chosen us in Christ, and that you have built us into a house for your presence. Keep us always in this house as your precious stones. And when our last hour comes, let us fall asleep in Christ and be awakened at your Son's coming to the new heavens and new earth. For the sake of him who died and made us his own, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. At this time we gather the offering and we hear the musical offering. We worship our Lord with our offerings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give to you his peace. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Amen.